Amen. It was for you. Amen. If you're saved, that's why he did it all. Isn't that a blessing? Take your Bibles, please. And somewhere in here is a message. Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. This announcement, if you are a Sunday school teacher, we do have Sunday school curriculum at the Welcome Center. You need to pick up the summer curriculum and turn in the spring curriculum. All right, make sure you do that. Next Sunday begins the next quarter. All right. Very good. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 1. Bible says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for?" By the way, that could be said of the United States of America. Amen. I mean, our God has, he has blessed us so much. And there was a time that this country called upon the Lord God to be their God. Verse 8, "And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day?" And then our text is in verse 9, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." And Father, we ask you now to bless the preaching. We do thank you for the music. We thank you for everyone who's here and just the opportunity we have now. And we need you. We need you to speak to our hearts through your word. And so I pray that you'll do that now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Memorial Day, of course, is a day to remember. It's about remembering. We talked about it this morning, the fact that initially Memorial Day was started to remember those who died in the Civil War. And begun as Decoration Day, people would go and decorate the graves. And it really has become more than military deaths. It's been just going and remembering grandma, grandpa, a great-grandparent, a loved one. And folks all over the United States will go to cemeteries, and they will walk through a cemetery. They'll look at a gravesite, maybe put some flowers down or some type of decoration. And what they're doing is they're remembering. They're remembering that person. They're remembering things about them. And that is very important to God. We see that in Scripture over and over. We see it in reference to his people. He tells them over and over again to remember. Oh, remember this, remember that. Here, he uses three words, the title of my message, "Lest thou forget the things." We have the Lord's Supper. What is it? "This do in remembrance of me." God is saying, I want you to remember me, so I want you to have the Lord's Supper. And we do that pretty much once a month. And we remember the Lord. We take that time out. It's too bad he had to tell us. Amen. I mean, it really is. Just like the song we just sang, "It was for me." It's too bad he had to tell us, "I need you to do this to remember me." Because and the children of Israel, all the blessings, all the miracles they saw, unbelievable that they might forget, and yet the Bible records they did forget. And so he told them over and over, he said, remember. And then here he says, "Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget." I would say to you, you know, walk with God, read your Bible, pray, go to church, be faithful, lest thou forget what God's done for you. Lest thou forget. You say, oh, preacher, I'm so excited, I can't imagine. But we forget. We do tend to forget. We forget what it was like when we got saved. Anybody who's not rejoicing, anybody who is a Christian and they're not in church singing the songs about the Lord and rejoicing over the beautiful songs and that, you know, you tend to just kind of forget, well, I got life, you know, everything goes on and we have to go to work and not tomorrow, most of you don't, but we tend to forget. And so I want to talk to you tonight about lest thou forget. Father, please bless now the preaching of thy word and help us to just remember to think of all the wonderful things that you've done for us and to remember how good you've been to us. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and use it in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We remember a lot of things. We think about a lot of things. And yesterday I went to watch my sister and Gary get married and went to Sweetser, Indiana. And does anybody know where Sweetser, Indiana is besides me? A couple people do, all right. And most people haven't got a clue. But obviously went through my hometown where I grew up, and so I'm remembering things. I drove through the old neighborhood, and one of the things that just, it's been quite a while since I've been in the old neighborhood, but it's funny. I remember my grandpa saying to me, he would say to me, see that tree right there, this huge tree? He said, I remember when that was planted. And I'd think, wow, you're old. I went through my neighborhood, and I was looking at trees that my dad planted. And I'm looking at these trees, and they're huge. And all I could think is, wow, you're old. I mean, here's these trees, these big trees. And I was going through there and just kind of remembering some things. I remember this coming August 20th, it'll be 40 years ago that Brenda and I met. On October 16th, 38 years ago, we were married. I remember the first time I preached as a pastor in the basement of a library. And I was just a kid, 24 years old. I remember I had hair. I actually carried a comb in my pocket. I look back and I think about that time that when I was pastoring, and I remember thinking that it was only 7 years before that, I was lost on my way to hell. I remember 32 people meeting in that basement of the library. And now I've been 31 years I've been a pastor. I've got a lot of things I remember. I remember our storefront building and remodeling. And as soon as we moved down here, I immediately thought back to those days when we were forced to do some things. And I thought about in Flint, Michigan, and how we had to... we sold our building and we had to rent another building, and then our time came, we had to move out of there, and we had to rent a banquet hall with office buildings for our Sunday school classes, and we had to tear down and set up, and I remember those things. You know, there will be a day we'll look back and folks will talk about the roof leak of 13 and 14. Yeah, I remember way back when the roof leaked and we had to move down. You know, and we'll all talk about that. And these young people will be old people, and they'll talk about that time, and they'll say, boy, wasn't that a blessed time that God used in our lives? And God told his people, he told them in Isaiah, he said to remember the rock from which you're hewn. Remember what you came from. He told his people, he said, remember the hole of the pit from which you're digged. Remember that? Remember where you came from, God told his people. Don't forget what you used to be. You know, about the time you start thinking that, you know, I've arrived and I've been saved a long time, and boy, I know the songs, and I know how to dress and how to look, and I've got it all down, and I shake hands, and I've got all that. Hey, God says, don't forget you were an alcoholic. Don't forget you had hangovers. Don't forget you used drugs. Don't forget you were involved in immorality. Don't forget how you cussed and swore. You didn't always talk spiritual. Remember how God saved you? Remember what it took for him to save you. The psalmist said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. You know, the The one thing about folks getting saved when they're young, they don't necessarily think about that horrible pit like we folks that came out of that horrible pit and got saved. That doesn't lessen it. You deserved hell just as much as any wicked, vile, heathen person did. It's a horrible pit. You just may not realize it or not remember it. Number one, we see here the past. The past. Look at Deuteronomy 4 and verse 20. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance as ye are this day. God says, I want you to remember how I delivered you from bondage, from Egypt. He calls it here an iron furnace. And if we would just understand what God did when he saved us, lest thou forget. How easy would it be to forget if we really understood what happened? If we really understood how he brought us up out of a miry clay, how he got us out of the hole of the pit where we were digged. If we would look at it that way, if we would recognize the ugliness, the awfulness of our sin, and realize what God did when he saved our soul. Are you saved tonight? I mean, seriously, what happened? Remember, think about it, lest thou forget. Lest thou forget. What happens when we forget? Well, we leave the first love. Remember that first love? See, I remember when I first got saved, I'm ready to attack hell with a squirt gun. You know, I'm the guy that's going to put out the fire. You know, when you first get saved, you're too ignorant to worry about what everybody thinks. Not a bad idea, huh? It's not a bad idea. The past. Again, I don't want anybody to go into the past and let it suck you back in. But just remember how it was. Remember how awful it was. Remember when you got saved. Remember before you got saved, the conviction. Well, I can still remember. I can see me on the third row and the preacher preaching. And I can see the sweat pouring down my face as he's preaching on how to be saved. I can still remember the Wesleyan camp. And that old boy, that evangelist was preaching at that Wesleyan camp and preaching about being lost and how several thousand young people are sitting there, and I was in the middle goofing off and messing around, and that guy's preaching about being saved and how he came out of a life of drugs and alcohol and a wicked life, and people need to get saved. And he said, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And he came down from that platform and walked down that aisle and walked through the row that I was sitting in. He came right to me and he said, son, you need to get saved. It was like there had to be an arrow flashing over my head. Ding, 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 ding. I knew it. How was it when you got saved? For some of you, it was in your bedroom. It was with your mom or your dad, and they knelt with you and told you how to pray and what to pray and to get saved. For some, it was at an altar. For some, it was in a conference of some kind, or maybe in junior church when Brother Fisher was preaching, or maybe when Brother Binder was preaching in junior church. And again, all over the city, there are people that heard the gospel from this church, and they heard it as children, and they heard it in a bus ministry, or they heard it, Brother Jenkins, maybe the red nose that he wore, it got you interested, and you decided to come, and you heard how to be saved. I don't know. But you know, the past. We all have one. Are you saved? Then there was a time you weren't. There was a day that you were lost. The past. God says to his people, he says, don't forget. Don't forget Egypt. Don't forget. Why did they celebrate the Passover? He didn't want them to forget. He didn't want them to forget how he delivered them from Egypt. Hey, I want you to remember this. You couldn't have done it on your own. We couldn't either. Remember, lest thou forget. Think about the past. Again, don't dwell on the past. Don't like the past. Just don't forget. Don't forget. Number two is the path. The path. Notice Deuteronomy 2 and verse 7. Several verses here. Deuteronomy 2 and verse 7. The Bible says, "For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing." He said, I don't want you to forget this thing. I don't want you to forget how you went through the wilderness and you had nothing and yet you lacked nothing. I want you to remember how I took care of you. I want you to remember this path that you were on. And though it was a wilderness, and though there were many that griped, complained, and ended up dying, I want you to remember I took care of you all the way. All the way my Savior leads me. Hey, has He been leading you all the way? Notice chapter 29 and verse 5. Chapter 29 and verse 5. Hey, Christian, lest thou forget, how about your path? What's He done for you? Deuteronomy 29:5, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot." Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine the people? I mean, honestly, they're walking along there Cecil, your clothes look the same as they did the day we left. Yeah, you know, Poindexter, yours do too. And I mean, that's what the Bible says. They should have wore out. The shoes should have wore out. God said, "I'm going to take care of you." He sent manna from heaven. He gave water from a rock. You say, "Preacher, there's no way anybody would ever forget." Oh, but they did. They did. Lest thou forget. Take some time. Think about it. Think about it. Hey, by the way, lest thou forget, maybe it'd be a good thing to think about some of those folks that died. Maybe it'd be a good idea to think about the servicemen who died so that we could have the greatest country in all the world. Might not be a bad idea to remember a grandma or a grandpa or somebody that I forget who was telling me, said if it wasn't for, and I believe they said their grandpa, a grandfather. And I'm going to say it was Melba. Where are you, Melba? Was that you? That was you this morning. Who was that you were talking about? Your grandfather. She said if it wasn't for him, you know, it'd be a good idea just kind of sit down and remember him. You say, "Preacher, what, you know, hey, that's what Paul said to Timothy." He said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith in your grandmother and your mother." Timothy, remember that. Don't forget that. That's part of the path that God put you on. And he said, "And now in thee also." Yeah, boy, where you came from, the path. Don't forget the manna. Don't forget the water from the rock. Revelation 3, verse 3. Look at it. Revelation 3 and verse 3. "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Remember. Remember how you received. Remember how you heard. Hold fast, he said. Where'd you come from? I'm so sick of people changing. I'm so tired of people saying, "I don't care what Grandpa taught me. I don't care what I learned years ago. I don't care what those Sunday school teachers said. I don't care what the junior church preacher preached. I don't care what the pastor preached. I'm going to toss it all out because there's something new out there." No, no, stop and remember. Remember Grandma on her knees begging God for you to do something. Remember a mom and a dad sacrificing so that you could go to a Christian school. Remember these things because we're so prone to forget. If we could, look, you say, how could the children of Israel ever forget manna from heaven and the miracle that God performed? How could they? And yet Jesus had to tell us to remember Him. He had to tell us, "This do in remembrance of me." Why? Because we go on our way. We do our jobs. We do our thing. We go to school. We visit relatives. We do this. We do that. And we totally forget. Lest thou forget. Remember the past. Remember the path. The path. You see, there was a day that I cursed God. Now, I don't want to remember the cursing, but I want to remember there was a day I did. Because now I praise God. There was a day that I went to church because I was looking for the prettiest girls. And the Wesleyans had the prettiest girls back in those days. Yeah. There was a day I hated preaching, and now I preach. You need not forget. It's all because of God's amazing grace. It is, you're not where you are because of you. You say, oh, you don't understand. I've got all kinds of training and education, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Hey, lest thou forget, you were on your way to hell. Amen. Psalm 40, verse 2. Psalm 40, verse 2. Psalm 40 and verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He put a new song. See, there was a day that the songs tonight, I would have said, ugh. But they blessed my heart and my soul. There was a day that really, if it wasn't Three Dog Night or the Eagles or one of those groups that I'm sure others of you would know better. But there was a day that's all there was to me. And the first time I heard somebody get up and sing a song about Jesus with a tear going down her cheek, I thought, wow, this is far out. But I don't understand that tear. And then I really listened for the first time. You know, the world's music, you don't really have to listen. All you have to do is tap. Write music, it's something you can listen to. And it can minister to your heart more than your foot. Wow. What a change. What a wonderful change in my heart has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Don't forget, Mary Magdalene, as you announced the resurrection, you had 7 demons in you, and you were a wicked person. Don't forget, Peter, as you preach at Pentecost and 3,000 are going to be saved, you were a poor, wicked, cursing fisherman. Don't forget, Gideon, as you lead the 300 to defeat the thousands of Midian. Don't forget where God found you, hiding. Amen? Well, look at me. Yeah, but let's put it in fast rewind and go back and look at you. How'd you get there? Don't forget, David, when you're the king, don't forget how you killed Goliath. Your dad didn't even think you'd qualify to be a soldier, let alone as the king. Don't forget Moses. All right, you held the rod. The Red Sea parted. Wow, look at me. No, don't forget Moses. Don't forget where you came from. A little basket, a little ark among the bulrushes in a river. Any animal could have come along and snatched you up. Don't forget. Don't forget Moses. As you see water come from the rock, don't say, I ought to run the utilities around here, right? No, Moses, don't forget. Don't forget where you came from. Hey, you're here today. Don't forget where you came from. One of the things that has always struck me so obviously about Brother Fisher and about Brother Binder and so many others is they've not forgotten where they came from. They're humble men. And they've not forgotten. And don't forget. Don't forget where you came. I'm a deacon. Don't forget. Lest thou forget, because if you forget, where you came from, you're not going to go the right direction. You're not going to go the right direction. Lest thou forget, Paul was maybe the greatest missionary ever. Don't forget, though, Paul, you were on your way to Damascus to kill Christians. Isn't that amazing to think of? And Matthew, as you're writing the first book in the New Testament, don't forget when you were a dirty tax collector, cheating people. Remember, folks, as Jesus carries you through trials, that you were once a wandering dumb sheep ready to step off a cliff. We have no reason to ever believe we're something. Somebody said years ago, and it's been said again, what is the pastor doing out trimming the yard and the grass? You know what? Honestly, and I was talking to a preacher on Saturday, anything you can do to serve God, it's an amazing thing. If it's trimming grass, mowing grass, if it's ushering, if it's setting up chairs, if it's taking down tables, whatever you can do to serve God, we're nothing. Well, don't you understand? I mean, I've got this degree and that degree and been in the ministry. Fooey on that stuff. Fooey on that stuff. Lest thou forget, where'd you come from? I mean, you're looking at a guy that came from a basement of a library. And we, to have church, we had to mop the floor. It took us four times. We first started mopping, it was mud. Second time, it wasn't as much mud. Third time, it wasn't quite as much mud. It took four or five times to mop the floor just to get rid of the mud. It was that dirty. That's so we could have church. I remember the storefront building. I remember setting up chairs. I remember our first blue bus we called the Blue Goose. Don't take for granted the buses. Thank you, Brother Hollins, for working on the buses. Don't take for... They don't just keep running. Does your car? Don't take for granted the buses. Don't take for granted the things that we have. We all just went through a wonderful lesson. We've learned to really appreciate our fellowship hall. Where used to, you walk by and just kind of look in and say, oh, that's nice. We can't forget. We can't forget. Lest thou forget. Lest thou forget, number one, remember the past. Lest thou forget, number two, remember the path. Lest thou forget, number three, remember to praise. To praise. You know, I didn't have a hangover this morning. Really, how'd you avoid that? I don't drink liquor. But I could have. I could have any time growing up. I could be an alcoholic today. I could be in a rescue mission today. How about you? I grew up in the drug era. I have friends whose brains are fried from smoking marijuana. But I've never smoked marijuana. I think I have my right brain. I do too. I have a happy home today. That's not because of me. That's because of God. Some of you, honestly, you need to learn to praise God. You need to learn to praise. Hey, remember before you got married, you couldn't live without that person? You couldn't live without them. I mean, oh, I just can't wait. What is your problem now? Well, now I know him. See, here's the thing you're forgetting. You're forgetting. See, I'm sorry. I take time. I go through our wedding day many, many times in my mind. Now, I don't go through the vows and all that because I don't have to. I know what I promised, and I know what she promised. But I go through the drive to Bluffton, Indiana, from Marion, Indiana, And I go through that drive, literally my hands and my palms were sweating and my heart was beating rapidly. And I was so excited. I think that's why I'm still excited. You say, oh man, that's stupid. I'll tell you what, I'm a happy guy. But see, I remember kneeling. I remember driving all the way from Bluffton, Indiana for what is a 45-minute trip that took me about 3 hours. I remember having to pull my car off. I was weeping so hard I couldn't see to drive. I remember pulling off and saying, oh God, let me live so I can get saved. Let me live. Please, God, don't let the rapture take place. And I drove all the way from Bluffton, Indiana to Marion, Indiana. And I got to my driveway and I ran inside the house and I knelt by my bed. I could have got saved alongside the road, but I didn't figure it out. And I got beside my bed and I cried out to God and I said, oh God, save this wicked, vile sinner. God, please save me. And He did. And I think about it a lot. You say, you know, we're kind of tired of hearing about it. I'm not. I need to keep hearing about it. It would do you well to rehearse your salvation experience and tell people and talk about it. Hey, instead of talking about the Tigers losing, why don't you sit down and invite somebody over and say, hey, tell me about your salvation. Tell me how you got saved. Instead of talking about all the negative and phooey on that stuff, put away that stuff and sit down and say, hey, I want to hear about your salvation. I want to hear about you when you got baptized. I want to know what happened to you and how you got in church. And talk to people and let them get that joy on their face again. Lest thou forget the praise. I'm convinced more people are not praising God because we forget. We forget how God lifted us up out of the pit. And now I have a home in heaven. Praise God. Somebody said, well, this, you know, this building, we had a roof leak. Yeah, praise God, we had this fellowship hall. There's just so much. You get all, you know, somebody gets bent out of shape. You know, well, the buses are looking kind of rusty. You know what? I think I have a solution for that. Give. A couple $1,000, we'll take care of the rust. But even better than that, remember. Think back. I remember the old blue goose. It was blue, but most of it was rust. Number four, lest thou forget, remember the possibilities. Possibilities. You know, Israel, God reminded him over and over again, don't forget why you're in the wilderness. Oh. Don't forget the reason. You had a chance. You could have gone into Kadesh Barnea. Don't forget. You had an opportunity. I mean, how many things did we kind of bring on ourselves? Come on, seriously. Most of the heartache in this room that has ever happened is just because of us. We did it to ourselves. Well, certainly, that'd be something to kind of think about, wouldn't it? Next time you want to blame God for something. I mean, he tells us in Isaiah to look to the pit. Why? So you can avoid it. Same pits there. I tell guys all the time, they're getting out of jail, getting out of prison. I tell them, just told a guy the other day, I said, you know what? All the same junk that put you there, it's all still there. All those people, all that stuff, it's all still there. By the way, that's why I thank God he put a new song in my heart. I thank God he put a new song in my mouth. I thank God, that's why I stay away from all the old songs. Because it pulled me down before, it will pull me down again. Oh, I'm strong. No, you're not. Yeah, see the possibilities. What could, seriously, there are so many bad things. That's why we need to remember what messed me up before. That's why, you know, my doctor, I thank God, you know, when he told me I was borderline diabetic years ago, And he said, you know, he said, now you're borderline diabetic. You need to know that. Do you know what it means? And all of a sudden in my mind, it flashed into my brain. All those surgeries, I went with people. I prayed with them as they first cut off a toe. Then they cut off another toe. Then they cut off half a foot. And then the next surgery, they cut off right above the ankle. And then the next surgery, I'm thinking of a lady right now. We were at every surgery, every time, prayed with her. And so every time I saw a Snickers bar, I saw a toe getting chopped off. You say, what'd you do? I didn't eat the Snickers bar. It's exactly true. What am I doing? I'm just remembering, hey, here's a possibility that's a bad thing. And my doctor says, I better look out. So I'm going to remember some things that's going to help me to stay out of trouble. You say, I don't think people forget. Children of Israel, they eventually said, why came we forth out of Egypt? One of the dumbest questions in all the world. I preached on it years ago, and I've never gotten over how dumb that question. Why came we forth out of Egypt? We could have stayed there. What is wrong with us? Hey, Flavius, why did we come out of Egypt? Oh, I don't know, Roscoe. Roscoe? I don't know where that came from. Why did we come out of? Where? What? I mean, Egypt. What a beautiful place. And the chains that they had us shackled in, and the fetters. And oh, my. And the whips on our back. What a wonderful place to work for. We'll see, honestly, lest thou forget, isn't that kind of how we get when we start flirting with the world again? And we start thinking how fun that would be? Amen. Amen. I'll tell you why you came out of Egypt, because you were slaves and you were in bondage. And I don't care what anybody says about, I just want to be free and do my own thing. When you're trying to do your own thing and it's not God's thing, it's the devil's thing, and you're trapped. And the bondage is bondage. Don't go near the pit. Stay away from the pit. That's why I preach on separation. I'm against the pit. I know the pit would swallow me up. And the pit's no good. There's a lot of possibilities if you just stop and think. Lest thou forget. But honestly, they're about to enter into Canaan in our text here in Deuteronomy. And God wants them to know it won't always be a wilderness. It won't always be bad things. It won't always be that way. There's a lot of good things. God says, I want you to remember something. I brought you out before, and I'll bring you out again. God's able to do that. God says, I got you out of Egypt before. I parted the Red Sea before. I can do it again. I can do it again. I will do it again. God has told me over and over, I moved you from a basement to a storefront building to a beautiful building that you remodeled, and you've seen that. God, everybody in this room, you ought to have, you've seen it before. God says, I've shown you no people to great crowds. I've shown you from one on a bus to a lot of people on a bus. Sunday school teacher, from one in the class to many in the class. From an alcoholic to a Sunday school teacher. From a broken home to a happy home. I'm just saying, God wants you to know, I can take your life wherever it needs to go. Be encouraged, lest thou forget. There's folks, honestly, you know, you walk around, you say you're saved, you walk around with your lip hanging down on the ground, and it's like, the end must be, you know what? What is wrong? How did you forget? Well, yeah, but this bad thing happened. You know, I ever since I came to Michigan, it was always, years ago when I went to Flint, it was always, they're talking layoff. They have talked layoff forever. When they built the first factory, they started talking layoff. They're talking layoff. What are you going to do? Well, you know what you're going to do? You're going to trust God. Amen. We got married. I said, I do. She said, I do. We got in the car, went on the honeymoon, came back from the honeymoon. Dad called. I'm acting like it was a cell phone. They didn't create them back then. It would have been a long cord. I don't know where I talked to Dad. It had to be somewhere at a place where they had a phone. And anyway, I talked to Dad, and he said, "Son, good news. You've been laid off." "Ah, what?" You say, "What'd you do?" "I bought a racetrack, and I raced my cars around during the..." Anyway, I did. You say, "What'd you do?" "You know what? I made it." Amen. How many of you have ever been laid off? Look at that. You made it. You made it. How many? Well, we won't ask who's ever been fired, but you made it, right? Don't answer. But you ever had your car repoed? Don't shake. Yeah, honey, he knows. He's no. You ever not been able to pay your bills? Tomorrow? No. Listen, I'm just saying. God just says, "Lest thou forget." I got you out of so many messes before. I mean, I'm thinking of Bible college. We left debt paid. Are you listening? I don't know how. Sometimes somebody will say, "Well, Pastor, you know, you started a church, and I need to see all the budget of how you started that church." And I just laugh. I have no idea. You can't explain it. I remember when we had two men that would count the money. We had two men in the whole church at that time, two or three. I was the third. And anyway, these guys are counting the money, and I mean, it didn't take very long. You can always tell if it's a good offering by how long it takes to count the money. And they counted the money. This was in Bern, and there wasn't. And I said, "Well, I have this bill for something. Maybe it was offering place. We bought everything. You know, when you start a church, you buy everything." And I don't remember what it was. One time we had a fellowship. We had barbecue sauce. We had barbecued chicken or something. And we had I had a bill for barbecue sauce. I said, "Well," I said, "how are we gonna pay this bill?" And Daryl looked over at who was it back then? I can't remember. Steve? Could have been Steve. I don't know. But anyway, Daryl looked at me, and then I looked at him, and he looked at Steve, and we all looked around, and I said, "Well, guys," I said, "there's nobody else in the room." He said, how'd you take care of your budget?" We all got out our wallets, and let's say the bill was $30. We each took out a $10 bill, and that's how we handled the budget. And that's what Chuck and Tim are going to have to start doing. No. But, folks, God has done it before. And God will do it again. Lest thou forget, remember the past. Remember the path. And I know it's not, I'll be honest with you. What do you suppose folks are going to talk about in heaven? So remember Flavius a while ago and Roscoe? I don't know where that came from. But Flavius, "Hey, Flavius, I got a couple hundred years. Could you tell me about that Red Sea parting? What was that like? I want to know. I want to hear from Flavius what it was like to walk through when the Red Sea parted. I want to know, and I'm really curious about this, did a fish who was swimming real fast come to the edge of the water and almost go out and then come back? I want to know. I'm going to ask them. And they're going to talk about it. We're going to be excited. Hey, tell us about the manna. Tell us about manna. And they're going to say to us, they're going to say, could you tell us how in the world they say that your roof leaked and everything was flooded upstairs and you had to meet down in the, what was that like? And some of you are going to perk up and you're going to say, "Well, Roscoe, I got some news for you. It was good. We had a good time down there in the fellowship hall." Amen. But that's what it's all about. Don't get down. Don't be so down. Don't be so discouraged. Because, again, Memorial Day. Okay, we went to the cemetery, and I thought it was going to be hard. It was hard. It was hard for my wife especially, and that's hard for me. But honestly, I looked around, and you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, you know, if the rapture took place right now, they go first. The dead in Christ go first. That means if I'm standing in that cemetery, I don't know how long the first is before the second, but I'm afraid I'm going to see graves opening up. I'm not sure what that would do. And I'm standing there, I'm looking down, my wife, and we're looking down at her dad's grave, and I'm thinking, and he would go first, and he would say, ha, beat you. You know? That's how I deal with it. Because I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. It's all true. And you believed it once, you need to keep believing it. Amen. It's all true. Lest thou forget. This Memorial Day and this Memorial Day weekend, I hope you'll just kind of pause and remember your salvation story. Remember what the path God put you on. It has got to be such an exciting thing. And as you get together with folks and fellowship, you know, forget all the negative junk. And just talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, lest thou forget. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed.